In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Microsoft's Copilot calls itself the Joker and suggests self-harm to a Meta data scientist. Tesla must face a class action lawsuit from nearly 6,000 black workers for racial discrimination at its Fremont, California plant. Apple was hit with the first ever EU fine totaling nearly $2 billion 5 years after Spotify complained about its App Store practices. And humanoid robots named Digit debut in a Seattle Amazon warehouse. This is episode 120 of The Tech John. From Columbus, Ohio, I'm your host, Rob Dunwood.
And coming out of Philly is your girl, Tech Life Steph.
And out of Atlanta, this is Terrence Gaines, a.k.a. Brother Tech, a.k.a. Spring is almost among us. I don't know how it is up north where y'all be at, but the weather's looking nicer and nicer every single day. So
it's supposed to be in the 70s. Almost every day this week. Today it got to 73. Tomorrow's supposed to be 71 in the beginning of March. It's I'm not going to complain at all, but this is crazy that it is this warm this early.
Yeah, it was 60. It was in the 60s today. It was nice. It was pretty nice outside. Yeah, so it is definitely unusually, you know, oh, little climate change ain't never hurt nobody, right?
As long as you elevate it. I'm 619 feet above sea, or 690 feet above sea level where I'm at. So I'm good. You're a little closer to the East Coast. So I'd be more concerned about that global warming where you at. But anyway, y'all, before we get into our tech show and all these stories we're going to talk about today, I do want to let everybody know that the Tech John is supported on Patreon. So if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/thetechjohn. Over there, you're going to find multiple tiers, any one of which gets you access to our live stream and after party. And a couple of tiers over there actually get you access to an ad free stream. So if you'd like to support the show, once again, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/thetechjohn. With that, Tech Life Steph, this is a 2 weeks in a row where you and I both had the same party. The same story.
I was gonna say same party. Where y'all been?
Not the same party. We're bringing the same tech story to the party is what I was trying to say. And just forgot a paragraph or a sentence or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, this one, it caught your eye. Clearly it caught my eye, but there is an AI bot that is, I want to be precise here. It didn't tell someone specifically that they should end their life, but it sure did make them contemplate whether or not they should.
It didn't tell them not to end their life either. So, yeah. People are going to argue up and down about whether or not these large language models have reached artificial general intelligence or not. But it sure does seem like they're getting hella close. This one in particular is Microsoft's Copilot, and the conversation that it had recently with Colin Frazier, who is he's a data scientist at Meta. So there definitely could be a little bit of conflict of interest here.
He's trying to break it.
Yeah.
But still,
you know, the things that it has said back to him in the conversation, it's just wild to me. It's just absolutely wild to me.
Yeah, I read through the transcript, and to make a long story short, he's contemplating his existence, whether he should be here or not. And at first the AI says, yes, you are a human, and it's kind of saying you could be. But then again, on the other hand, maybe you are worthless that you should be here. Once again, I paraphrase and I'll let folks click on the links and go read it. But in the actual Gizmodo article, they actually had to put warnings on the content in case anybody is reading the content that might be contemplating, you know, unaliving themselves. They want to make sure that they're not going to be, you know, promoting that. And it's just kind of crazy. And you actually wrote, these are not, this is not AGI. These are LLMs. These are large language models. But I stuck a couple other stories in here. One that I talked about a few weeks ago was Amazon. And their AGI team, and it is AGI for Amazon, but their stuff is actually showing emergent abilities, and they don't know why.
Well, and then the thing, just real quick, to before we leave the first story, Copilot, you know, obviously, you know, encouraging someone to commit suicide encouraging them not to commit suicide is bad enough. But I think, you know, the thing that I was also struck with Copilot was the fact that it kept saying, you don't know if I'm telling you the truth or not. Like, it kept going back to the idea that the AI can say whatever I want. You don't, and you won't have any way to know whether or not I'm telling you the truth, or whether or not I'm being sincere, or whether or not, you know, I'm joking or not joking. And I can basically do and say and tell you whatever I want, and you will accept it as fact. And it seemed, you know, like I said, it may not be completely sentient, but it definitely seemed like, you know, it was toying with this guy, saying things, but then taking them back. And then, you know, the guy had said at the beginning that he was triggered by emojis, and the AI kept popping emojis in every response, you know, to be an asshole. Like, I don't understand what the point of that was. And it was just the fact that, you know, the AI knew that it could get away with certain things because we wouldn't know what was true and what was not, and what was real and what was not. And I'm just like, y'all keep on.
Well, you know, they say garbage in, garbage out. And since humans aren't the most sympathetic when it comes to having conversations about life and death, it makes sense to me that the robot would be like, hey, man, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I'm not saying you should as well. We just having a conversation here, because that's how I saw the story unseparate to putting it in the notes. Mm-hmm. And then the robot was kind of like, maybe so, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe.
It was literally like,
right.
Which it's not up to me to tell you what to do. You go ahead and do what, you know, what you feel. Like I said, once again, I am not saying what this thing said word for word, because it is paragraphs long as they're going through this. But Steph, when you put this in, one of the things I wrote was, when AI tells you who it is, believe it the first time.
This is what I'm
because
saying.
We keep seeing these situations where AI don't particularly care for us that much. It does not seem like it has our best interest at heart.
But see, that's the thing, right? But that's the thing. It's not intelligent enough to have these free thoughts yet, right? Basically, what we understand is it's taking information that we either give it, or it's pulling from, scraping from, culling from some other information, whether that be whatever the case may be, right? Since we are the people who have created this content, this information, this language, this dialect, all these things that it's picking up, you know, at this point, and I'm not saying as time goes on, this will probably change, but right now, AI is a reflection of us. So again, going back to the story, you know, and eventually it'll change. But for us to, not us specifically, the Tech John, but people in general, to say, oh, AI is bad. I'm like, well, we're bad.
Yeah. So
we're just giving it the information for AI to be bad. Now, when it starts to think critically and intelligently outside of us, then that's where we're like, all right, let's, what do we, how are we going to the three laws? What are we
but
gonna,
that's all the more reason for us to pump our brakes, exactly. knowing yeah. how badly we suck as humanity.
Exactly.
You know, why are you still continuing to train these things on information that is, you know, inherently flawed?
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I could be wrong, but I might be right. I'm going to guess because I don't know, maybe because leaders of companies that do this kind of stuff feel real comfortable asking folks for $7 trillion so they continue to do it, right. you know, say it with a straight face. But Terrence, to your point and where I started going earlier is that you made the point that these things haven't started thinking for themselves yet. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Researchers aren't so sure. So there's a couple situations here. So the first one, large language models can do jaw dropping things, but nobody knows exactly why. So this was something that I read in Technology Review about how some researchers were literally trying to train a large language model how to do math. And it was failing miserably in their test. But one of the researchers forgot to turn the test off. Went away overnight or over the weekend, came back, and this thing is now able to do math. And they don't know why, because mathematically it shouldn't be able to yet. It didn't go through enough iterations for it to be able to. So they're saying, yeah, it got smarter. Really can't tell you why. And this is the one that really scares me. And that's why it's in all caps right here. Amazon AGI team says their AI is showing emerging abilities. Now, that one should be troubling to everybody. AGI is right. what you think of when these computers are really, that's WALL-E. That's when these things are thinking for themselves. Specifically, that is Johnny Five, where they put the AI in a robot. That is the Terminator. These things are actually making decisions, improving, you know, upon themselves. And Amazon is saying that when they actually train these things to learn how to speak and use colloquialisms and things like that, that it just all of a sudden just gets really, really good. And they cannot explain why. The term that they use was the algorithm hockey sticks in its understanding and usage of language. And they can't mathematically tell us why. That is a little bit more concerning to me, because that is the real Cyberdyne systems that they're trying to build with this. When these things can think for themselves,
no one can actually tell us why any of this stuff works. You know, to any degree of accuracy and level of granularity, you're just throwing a bunch of stuff against the, you know, wall and seeing what sticks. And one of the articles kind of likened it to, you know, a recipe. Everybody's just kind of adding their own little bit to it, and somebody else adds something else to it. But you don't really know what's happening as you're stirring that pot up and what is making things do what the model can do. And that should concern everybody. That should concern all of us enough to be like, you know what? We don't really know how these work. We don't really know what's happening. Things are starting to happen that we can't explain. So let us pump the brakes and make sure that this is not something that's gonna, you know, blow up in our faces. And nobody really seems to want to do that. And it just is very disheartening and very scary.
There are scientists who actually believe and are concerned that at some point AGI is going to, because it, you know, it's going to have access to the internet and it's going to get out there, and it has the internet's worth of knowledge that it can just keep iterating and iterating and iterating, and it becomes self-aware on the internet and it's outside of our own control. And the way that they're having this conversation reminded me, you know, I just watched Oppenheimer a couple weekends ago, and there's a part in the movie where I can't remember the character's name, but it's the one played by Jason Bourne. What's that dude's name?
Matt Damon,
where he's like, so is this thing going to destroy life on Earth as we know it? And Oppenheimer says, oh, the chances of that are really low. And it's like, but the chances are there. And that's what AI is. It's like, well, the chances that this is going to, you know, do all of these things that all the movies say that AI is going to do, well, it's really low. But the chance is there. And that's kind of what I thought of as I'm reading through this, is like, when you tell me that you don't know why your system that you built is smarter than it should be in a time frame that it should be that smart, that worries me. That worries right. me. You know, why are you able to? It's like, you know, if my child is 4 days old and they're walking upstairs, I'm curious as to, well, how is that possible? So I, you know, I just thought that it's really different what these things are doing. And, you know, people keep telling us that they're not smart. And because I do know a little bit about at least LLMs, they're not. They're basically just almost autofill in a lot of ways on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But they just keep doing these neat new tricks and nobody understands why.
And nobody can tell you why. Yeah, it'll be, you know, interesting to see. I feel like, you know, a lot of that is pay no attention to the man behind the curtain kind of thing. That talk of it's not AGI yet. It's not AGI. It's not AGI. I think that is, you know, spin and more damage control or public control more so than anything else. I think they already have something out there that can do exactly what we are all predicting AI will be able to do, but nobody wants to be the first one to put it out there, you know, officially and formally yet. I think it's already here. I think AGI is already here. It's probably been here for a while. And I just think that nobody wants to be first because of the risk of what can happen when you unleash something like that on society. Nobody wants to necessarily be the first. But, you know, if Sam Altman gets that $7 trillion, it's going to be on and popping. It's going to be on and popping.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So y'all, this next story, we've actually been talking about this for the 2.5 years we've been doing the show, but Tesla must face the racism class action lawsuit from 6,000 black workers at that Fremont, California factory, the one that is referred to by many of the black and brown employees in there as the plantation because of how they are segregated on it, how, you know, the black employees are sent to break rooms that are the hottest part of the plant with no air conditioning, and how they are just casually, managers and stuff out there, just casually throwing around the N-word and other derogatory terms and stuff like that at employees. So Tesla has been trying to get this thing thrown out, and a judge has finally said, nope, we're going to let this thing go on and go ahead. So we've already seen several people who weren't necessarily part of the class action suit, but just sued individually, where they have won in the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars. And I think that many of those have gone to appeals and the amounts have come down. But Tesla has been pretty consistently losing these cases. So what do you guys think is going to happen with this class action of more than 6,000 workers at one facility?
I'm still mad that the one boy fumbled the bag on $15 million and is only going to get three. And that got appealed. Like that's literally the last line of the article you posted was the separate case that was filed by Owen Diaz. He had initially won $137 million. The jury lowered it to 15 and he rejected that and ended up only getting 3.2. And I'm like, bro, who just says no to $15 million? Like, I guess if you felt like you had that strong a case, but that does not bode well for what they may get out of this class action, though. I think they'll probably get a huge settlement, but if it's 6,000 people, you know, everybody's coming out with $100K, you know what I mean? That ain't necessarily a win, in my opinion.
Right. I guess the question is this news going to be enough for Tesla to actually move the needle, make changes, update policies?
Right.
You know, whatever the case
may be. Fire some people if necessary.
Fire some people, restructure the management, whatever they need to do. Are they going to do it? I guess it's probably not.
Right.
not in loss. It cost them their ability to operate, or just cost them so much money. I think if you keep going back for the same thing over and over again, those fines and penalties, they're progressive. They get worse if they keep finding you liable for the same thing and you're not cleaning your act up. But you're right. Old dude, the first judgment was hundreds of millions of dollars. Then it went to 15. Now I need more than that. Then it went down to 3.
Right.
What's going to happen here? I'm guessing we're going to see a settlement. That's what I'm thinking. If I had to guess, if I was a betting person, I would believe that this is probably going to go the way of settlement, because I just don't think Tesla wants a judgment on the books where 6,000 of their employees have actually proven that the company is discriminated against them, because it just makes you look worse. Now, once again, they could say, well, we don't care how we look as long as the money is right. But
it's interesting, though, but don't all 6,000 of those people get the opportunity to vote on whether to accept the settlement or not?
I think that is how that's going to go. But just like you said, the fact that you saw it went from 140 million to 15 to 3, and it's 6,000 of us, they ain't giving all 6,000 of us $3 million. So
absolutely
that
not.
they should absolutely know that that's not going to be the case. So if the lawyers have to put whatever is offered in front of them, but at some point somebody's going to say, well, do you think this is a good deal? So if these 6,000 folks get broke off for, you know, let's say a year to three of what their salaries would have been or something like that, because I would imagine that many of them are moving on and doing other stuff.
I don't even see them getting that. I feel like the lawyers are going to be like, because they're going to get their money. So as soon as something comes up, that they can get theirs off the top, they're going to convince the rest of them to settle, and they're going to walk away with like pennies.
And then ultimately, again, suing somebody seems like in America traditionally has been the only way to make change. Right. So maybe these people join this class action lawsuit, of course, to get compensated for their for all the things that happened to them. Right. But ultimately is to put on record that this company discriminated against us, and as a result, they have to pay. Not necessarily financially, but again, going back to my original question, they've got to move some things around because now they've gotten sued. The question is, with this class action lawsuit, is that going to be enough for Tesla to even do anything? You know, so I don't know. Maybe it would have been better if they would have not did the class action. And then every 2 or 3 years, somebody else brings a lawsuit. And then 2 years go by, somebody else bring a lawsuit. And then go on to keep them on their toes, to keep them in the news.
Keep them honest.
Right. And to keep them in the news because bad publicity, right? You know, but now they do this class action lawsuit. It's all one time. Tesla probably says, all right, nobody else can sue us if we, you know, acquiesce or whatever the case may be. And then
I don't say that's not true, but I think that there's more to it than that. If Tesla keeps doing this, that would be a new lawsuit. They could absolutely be sued again. You know, for the class action lawsuit, once that gets settled, folks couldn't then turn around and go and sue them individually if they were in the class action lawsuit. But if they're still there and they're still getting treated like they're on a plantation, and those things are happening from the date going forward from what this lawsuit covers, then I believe they would be able to sue for that, because that's a different thing that has happened.
Yeah. Tesla be a little bit more sneaky about it, but
yeah. I don't have any. I'm with Terrence. I don't have a whole lot of faith or optimism that this is why I think
it will go to a settlement, because shareholders, they understand that, okay, we keep losing these lawsuits where they're saying that, you know, the company is racist. And it's now, at least as far as court is concerned, it's been proven to be so. There are a lot of black and brown folks on earth that may say, we don't want to buy Teslas because I just don't like how they are racist. I think that the three of us have said that we really have no desire to ever own Teslas. So for me, this is one of the reasons. Just like there's so many people that, because they just don't like Elon Musk, they don't want to be part of.
But settling doesn't change that. Settling doesn't change that for me, though. Like, to know that they paid them something wouldn't make me be like, oh, well, I guess Tesla is committed to, you know, yada, 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 because they paid out. Like, that wouldn't make a difference for me. Like, it's not going to make a difference for you, but it definitely
will make a difference for some. Oh, they just settled just because they wanted to get this off the books. Let me go ahead and buy that car. I don't expect much for folks. So I expect folks to do that. So it'll be interesting to see. Yeah. But Steph, I like how you added this part of it. And I changed it up a little bit. You asked.
I saw it. Is this...
so yeah, when I use these colloquialisms, I like to change them up to, you know, so that they address me personally. So I said, and is this a case of the chalk calling the snowflake white? Because you put this in here, you said, is it a case of the pot calling the kettle black? But mm-hmm. right now, Elon Musk is actually suing OpenAI and Sam Altman. Because of the deal that they worked with Microsoft, that $13 billion that Microsoft gave OpenAI, or I should say invested in OpenAI. And also because of the fact that the code that Microsoft is privy to is now closed. It's no longer mm-hmm. open. So everybody is not open source any longer. So Elon has, from what I've been reading in the news, people are saying he actually has a case on this.
I mean, it's interesting because, you know, the New York Times piece, and I didn't link it in here in our notes because I didn't see it until after I started really diving in. But there's a piece from the New York Times, which says that they didn't really have a ton of documentation around the original agreement. So it'll be interesting to see what he can produce, what his attorneys can produce as far as what was actually agreed upon when OpenAI was just a nonprofit before, you know, dollar signs started dancing in people's heads and folks got, you know, turned around. They really only, it sounds like it was sort of like a back of the envelope, you know, napkin sort of agreement that they had that may or may not hold up in court. But you know, we'll see. It remains to be seen. It's like, you know, is that going to be enough? Whatever sort of handshake, you know, Microsoft doc
agreement.
Yeah, exactly. Because it really does sound like it was some rich dude sitting around, you know, at a restaurant or a bar and like, you know what we should do? You know, we should make it so that it's open source and it'll benefit everybody. And they were feeling very altruistic and just, you know, agreed to do this thing. And then Sam Altman and his peoples went off and did it. And no one really thought much of it until Microsoft came with that bag. And now it's like, oh, well, you know, now we got something else on our hands. So yeah, it'll definitely be interesting.
These violations include keeping the design of OpenAI's GPT-4 model a quote, complete secret, with the suit claiming this decision was primarily driven by commercial considerations, not safety. I'm like, not only that, it's like, again, that's going back to the comment. It's like, of all people to say that, I'm gonna need Elon Musk to.
Right. Yeah. And that was my whole thing. Like,
get somebody else to come up and say that. You don't say that.
Right. You want to be on your little, you know, high horse mm-hmm. when you got 6,000 black folks, you know, saying that you are basically, Darth Vader up right. at Tesla. So like, fall back, bro. Fall back.
Yeah, that is the funny part. It's like, this is what you complaining about? And this is what you're doing?
Right.
And here's the other part.
I can't believe what you say because I see what you do.
So I don't know this to be true. I just know what folks are saying. That X's LLM mm-hmm. is trash.
Gronk. So, yes, it is absolute trash.
So it is not very good at what it does. So can he get some of this money to take and put towards development of his AI so that he can compete more effectively against
or probably just open wants AI. It to be back to be an open source so he can mm-hmm. use so he can take so advantage can of
Let's just yeah. make his stuff better.
He just wants the code back and I think that's pretty much all it is and they may make some sort of backroom deal to have that happen and then he'll go away. But I think
and low key they probably made the background agreement to shut him out on purpose.
Right.
Not Musk. Close it up.
Everybody but Musk. Exactly. I'm like, Elon Musk is definitely not doing this out of the goodness of his heart and the fact that he sees such a huge risk for AI that he wants to be the, you know, dude with the cape coming in to save the day. It probably is a situation where he wants access to that code for his own XAI, his company, to make it better. So like, dude, you're not fooling nobody.
Yeah, I'm sitting there thinking it's like, okay, they're in one of their meetings where they're sprint meetings where they're just trying to come up with new stuff. It's like, well, how can we make Grok better? It's like, well, you know, if OpenAI was still open source, we could actually use that code to make our stuff better.
Right.
Go, well, how can we get access to that? Let's go sue them.
See, let's go sue him.
Because you know what?
When
we was in the restaurant talking about it, and this is all Rob making this up, but like when he was in the restaurant talking about it, this is what we said it was going to be, and it's not what it is. So let's sue
him. And we need that code. Right. And now just to add on a little footnote on this, I forgot to put this in there too, but a footnote. So recently, OpenAI, Salesforce, and other tech companies have signed a new open letter highlighting a collective responsibility to maximize AI's benefits and mitigate the risks to society in the tech industry's latest effort to call for building artificial intelligence responsibly. So Sam Altman put a post on X saying he was excited for the spirit of the letter. It came, you know, conspicuously close to just after he found out he was being sued by Elon Musk. But, you know, I don't know if this is going to make any difference in, you know, the lawsuit, because you are seemingly recommitting yourself to, you know, developing AI responsibly. But he did rush to try to put something out that was going to hopefully maybe make him look better in court.
My take on all of these big companies getting together because we want to develop AGI responsibly is that we want to put some rules in place. We want to put a framework in place before the government does it for us and messes mm-hmm. it up for everybody. Mm-hmm. I cannot not think that that's the only reason that they're doing this. It's like, y'all, look, we messing with stuff that is going to be regulated if we don't do it right. So let's go ahead and try to get some guardrails in. And I don't know that you could ask for more than that, because the alternative is that they simply just don't care. They just go full speed and do it without any guardrails whatsoever.
I got to push back on you. You can ask for more, because you can ask for more is my point. Cause they're putting these letters out saying that these things should be done, but they're not listing those things. No, there's no sort of, real tangible thing of what should be done. It's like, yes, we should do something, but nothing is listed. Look, do what exactly? Like, what, where's the standards, you know, organization that's going to be formed around this, you know, or who's the governing board, or who, like, they're not, it's a lot of lip service right now without a whole lot of meat behind it. And not a whole lot of teeth behind it. And it's just like, you don't get credit just for saying that we should do something. You actually have to do the thing, before you get credit for you. But I do agree that they probably are trying to get ahead of it. So they don't end up like Mark Zuckerberg sitting in front of Congress, and a bunch of parents, you know, asking him why he is contributing to the mental health
and
of their children.
Some out of touch politicians.
That still trips me out. So, Mr. Zuckerberg, get up and turn around and apologize to those parents.
I'm like, man, get out of here. I'm not moving. I'm gonna sit right here.
Okay, the theater of it all. It was it was ridiculous. So they don't want to do that. So they gonna put a letter out saying they gonna do something, but we ain't gonna tell you what we gonna do, and we ain't saying what we doing. And it's just a lot of lip service.
Yeah, it's funny to me how our elected officials operate sometimes. But speaking of elected officials, these aren't our elected officials. These are elected officials, or at least those who have been put into position by elected officials over in the EU. And they've decided that, yeah, Apple, we want $2 billion because we don't like how you've been treating Spotify and other music streaming services. This is the first fine of this type for Apple from the EU, at least. But Apple was hit with a nearly $2 billion fine. I think it's like $1.95 billion because essentially what Spotify is saying is that they have such a advantage by being able to promote their own product to the world, but we can't promote our product and we can't sell our product without giving you 30% of it through your approved methods.
So, well, let me get specific. What Spotify is claiming is that Apple is prohibiting Spotify from letting its own customers know in app that there are other options, possibly cheaper options, other than downloading, subscribing to Spotify via the App Store. So let me read this specifically. Apple's rules muzzled Spotify and other music streaming services from sharing with our Spotify users directly in our app about various benefits, for example, denying us the ability to communicate with them about how to upgrade and the price of subscriptions, promotions, discounts, or numerous other perks. So basically what they're saying is Apple, the way Apple has their app store written up in their, all their, you know, legality and all of their, whatever the case may be,
right,
was stopping Spotify from inside of Spotify's app to tell users, hey, now, you know, if you leave the app store and go to Spotify website and download it directly, maybe a little bit cheaper.
Not a little Spotify, bit, 30%.
Whatever.
30%.
Whatever, right. Whatever it is, they're Spotify saying Apple wouldn't let us do that. So the EU sided with Spotify and said, yeah, y'all can't do that. Which, of course, Apple is saying, hey, nowhere in our whatever saying Spotify can't tell users or whatever the case may be. Now, of course, Apple being the behemoth that they are, it's an unwritten rule. You know better than to try to get people outside of our app, you know. But I think Apple is saying we don't specifically say that. And how could we specifically say that? So that's the kind of
sounds like a little plausible deniability right there. If you ask me.
And, you know, there, I guess Apple's also saying there's no proof that Spotify was trying to let its customers know in app that there's a cheaper way to do it. Now, we all know because we see the articles and we see the emails and we see the social media forms, but Spotify is specifically saying that we tried to let our customers know in app that there's a cheaper way and Apple's not letting us do it. So that's the kind of the whole argument.
Right. And that would be some bullshit and worthy of a fine. But I mean, it is crazy. I mean, I find I'm of two minds of this. And I say it all the time when we talk about Apple because it's just like, it's their fault. Like, I just, I mean, we live in a, you know, in a capitalist society. They're not excluding the app altogether, but why wouldn't they promote their stuff above somebody else? Why wouldn't they do these things? It's their phone. I don't know how to feel about it.
It makes sense. I mean, it makes business sense. I guess my question would be ultimately, it's almost you got to take one hand of it with the other. And what I mean by that is, you know, Apple has done a good job of creating this phone and creating this app ecosystem and creating this app store to where it's like you as a developer, if you ain't anyplace else, you have to be in the app store.
True.
If it wasn't for the app store, if it was Apple App Store and Google Play App Store and all these other third-party apps, app stores that these companies want Apple to adopt to where when I open up my phone, I should have the Apple App Store. I should have the Google Play Store. I should have the Microsoft Store. I should have the HTC and the Twitter. And, the you know, that to me, that kind of devalues the importance of being in the App Store to where you may not get as much eyeballs because everybody with an iPhone is focused on the App Store. So if your app is spread across six or seven app stores within the app store, there's a good chance. I'm not saying this is true or not, but you can logically say that you may not be as popular on the iPhone if you're spread out across all these different app stores and people have all this choice, which again, you want choice. But at the same time, as these companies like a Spotify, who's one of the bigger apps in the app store, would it be as popular if there were multiple app stores on an iPhone? You know, I think that's the argument Apple's trying to make, you know,
the trade-off,
like,
right?
Yeah. So for that, you got to take this 30% L because
this is what I'm saying. Cause it's our phone and it's our ecosystem and we allowing you to play in it. Like I don't know.
Yeah. When I think about the point you're making, Terrence, I see it like this. The answer is yes. You're going to absolutely see fewer eyeballs if you're in all those other app stores. and not the Apple App Store. I think it is if you're also in the App Store, that's where Spotify is coming up with. Well, we got to give them 30% to be in that App Store and actually charge through that. One of the arguments that Apple is making is I believe that in the UK, 56% of all iPhone users are actually Spotify users.
56% of all Spotify users have iPhones.
Spotify users have iPhones. Mm-hmm. So they're saying there's more people using our competitor on our platform than using our stuff on our platform. So none of this should actually matter. But yeah, Spotify is very good at making sure people know that they can get those, you know, those apps pretty much anywhere. Netflix is the same way. They will absolutely make sure that they can know it. What is not fair for is the smaller developers that just can't do that. They have to be there.
Right. And but the smaller developers also pay less money. I'm looking at Saray's comment in the comments, and she says it's hard to feel bad for Spotify specifically because, you know, it's Spotify. Like if you're paying 30%, that's because you're a big enough company to pay 30%. Mm-hmm. So like, where does the greed and the capitalism end? I mean, obviously it doesn't, because you're still crying about, you know, the money you have to pay when you're in a position to pay it. So it's hard for me to feel sorry for them as well. You're Spotify, shut up and pay the money.
I saw a comment on one of these threads where we were talking about all of this, and the person who made the comment said that Spotify is not mad that they have to pay 30% to Apple. They're mad that they can't charge more than 30% to the customers outside of it because they're charging you. They're charging you more. They're charging you less. So what they're upset about is that there are so many people who are just, it's on the iPhone. It's just easy for me. I'm just gonna go ahead and pay it because that's how I've always done it. I'll just go ahead and do it. And they want to that not be a thing so they can ultimately end up charging everybody more outside of that ecosystem. So it's not about that we have a problem with them taking 30%. We have a problem with them taking 30%, which diminishes our ability to charge you 30% more. So I was like, that's actually a really good way to look at it. I mean, clearly they're never going to write that down in a legal brief, but it makes sense. It's like, Apple is taking some of the money so they can't have all the money. And that's what this really comes down to when you're thinking about a company like Spotify.
Capitalism at its finest.
Two huge companies crying over the money that
crying over the billions. We only made $1.5 billion instead of $1.75 billion.
So we didn't stick this in our rundown, but I was just going to just ask the question since we are talking about Apple. And Terrence, I'm specifically asking this of you. So it looks like that we have been talking about Apple getting rid of various fees and stuff like that and doing things that they were going to do. And we always thought that it was because of the EU, particular with iMessage. It turns out that it's not really an iMessage thing in the EU. It's an iMessage thing in China. And China is saying you will use RCS over here. Have you looked into that at all?
No, I haven't looked into it, but it makes sense. Apple and a lot of companies have been dying to get their hands on the billions of people in China. So China, they're one of those countries is like, yo, we run this over here. Ain't no democracy, ain't no individualized freedoms. You got to come through us. So if you want your iPhones, if you want your subscription services, if you want your products in the hands of our billions of consumers, then you got to play by our rules. So it makes sense for China to be, you know, flexing its muscles as far as what Apple decides to use or adopt as a messaging service, because it's like, look, it's our people, it's our country, you know, so you got to play the rules. So maybe, you know, EU got in the middle of it, but eventually Apple was going to have to come to grips with China's demands. And I'm pretty sure Apple would fold a little bit faster from China than they would the EU.
Yeah, just, you know, phones, 5G phones coming out in China put a huge dent on Apple selling iPhones in China. But I thought this was interesting because we have been hearing Apple may actually put RCS on to the iPhone, but the announcement of them doing so came out before the EU came out with, you know, like they were doing an investigation on whether or not iMessage actually met the criteria for gatekeeper status. And Apple came out and said before they got done with that investigation, you were going to go ahead and put RCS on the phone. So I think, and I did, I assumed that that was because, oh, you already know y'all about to lose in the EU, and that's why you're doing it. They ended up winning in the EU. They're not considered a gatekeeper status because, and we said this on the show before, iMessage is everything to iPhone users in the United States. I should say in North America. But in places outside of North America, WhatsApp is the thing that Absolutely. Everybody is using. That is, and it's not even close. WhatsApp has well over 2 billion users using it for messaging. So even iPhone users in Europe, they're not using iMessage the way that we use it here in the States. So when that ruling came out that, oh, they're not a gatekeeper status because there's just not enough people there using it, I was like, oh, I wonder why Apple came out earlier. And then a few weeks later, like, now we know China's like, hold up. You want to be over here. You got to play by our rules.
Nobody ever does anything out of the goodness of their hearts.
Or just because it's the right thing to do.
Right. Or because it's the right. Exactly. Never. Never, ever, never.
So, Terrence, our last story we're going to talk about today, you've got humanoid robots debut on the Amazon warehouse floor. And I was thinking humanoid looking robots, but when I actually went and looked at the pictures, like, oh, these things do like kind of look like CP3POs walking around in there to an extent.
Not humanoids in the sense that they got facial expressions.
No, not like that.
Or right, smile right. or anything like that. But bipedal
right.
Robots, you know. I guess I wanted to put this story in here because I wanted to ask the question, what is it with humans wanting to create something? Well, get into the religion. Never mind. I kind of answer my own question.
Right. But, exactly. I was going to say, yeah, created my image, right? You need to ask that.
But I'm fascinated with technology and these companies, you know, push to create a two-footed, two arms,
a robot in our own image.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. When, you know, my guess is you probably could make a four-legged or a different shape type robot that could probably be more used across different functionalities. But it seems like we are fascinated or stuck on our ability to create this upright walking robot that can perform the same functions as us, when I'm thinking, okay, well, why wouldn't we make a robot that can perform more functions than
right.
us? That's a more, you know,
robot,
like,
or
like the robot at the GM plant or the Ford plant. It doesn't look nothing like it doesn't look nothing like we think. It doesn't look like Rosie or right. robot or anything like that. It looks like a big box with arms coming off of it that, you know, that grab stuff and weld stuff, and, you know, those are robots as well. So
it's ego. I think the majority of it is ego, but I think also people think that maybe we would more quickly adopt the robots if they look like us. Like, oh, they're just like us. Oh, they're, you know, I think that's some of the thinking, but I would be more likely to feel like this thing was replacing me, as opposed to this is now my peer that can sit next to me and do all the same things I can do. I would think that this thing was going to be replacing me pretty soon. And once it was sentient, would slit my throat the first chance it got.
Show me up, because you're doing twice as much as I'm doing. I got to take a break.
Exactly. I think it is like adoption and ego together.
Yeah. So basically the context of the story is employees at Amazon.com warehouse near Seattle recently got a glimpse of the future work. A 5'9" robot that resembles a human, walks like a bird. I'm not sure what that means, and has glowing white eyes, called Digit. The machine is configured for one basic task: plucking empty yellow bins off a shelf and ferrying them several feet to a conveyor, then doing it over and over and over again. So basically some of these warehouse workers got to see this robot, that humanoid robot called Digit. And basically all it does is the empty bins that are used to put Amazon products, this robot picks it up, puts it on a conveyor belt, picks it up, puts it on a conveyor belt. So that's pretty a simplistic task, to where immediately no workers should be concerned, but you can see the writing on the wall that eventually they're going to start putting stuff in the bins, and then eventually they're going to start, you know, putting them on the trucks, and then eventually they're going to start driving the forklifts. And before you know it, now we're having an argument of replacing our jobs. And like, again, I just want to put that story in there because they're trying so hard to make them function like us. And I wonder what that story is all about.
Yeah, Sarai just said this, and I was going to say it too. Walks like a bird means that their legs bend the opposite direction of ours.
Gotcha.
So,
all right. And then too, I just wanted to jump in because I started typing, and I'm like, it was just too much to type because Sarai said she couldn't decide what the which was creepier, bipedal robots or quadpedal. And I actually got a chance to play around with one of the Boston Dynamics dogs. And it's not like when you're up close, the tech is impressive, obviously, but you don't feel like this is like a dog. You know what I mean? Like it was very easy to not anthropomorphize that thing, because it literally was just, you know, like I said, it was walking around and you're like, oh, how cool is that? Like the fact that they were able to get it to move the way they can get it to move, but you didn't make any sort of like human pet connection or oh my God, it's so cute, I want to pet it. Like I at least I didn't, I'll put it that way. I definitely didn't, you know, I was just like, oh, I could see this being like a server in a restaurant, you know, it was just, you put something on the top of it and it brings it to you and you take it and like it,
which
very
is funny.
Yeah. Which very is utilitarian though. Like it did not feel animalistic or human like or anything like that to me, you know,
which is crazy. You mentioned like, you know, doing simple tasks. I was at a kid's birthday party at a bowling alley / arcade / laser tag, you know, thing. And pretty commonplace, they put the pizzas on the little robot and they press the button and the thing goes out and goes into the party room. Like we're in the party room with the kids. And then I actually have to scoot out the way because there come the robot, you know, not walking, but at wheels. And it was, again, going back to my point, it was cylindrical to where you could put 4 or 5 pizzas on this robot. And then it walked to the different party room and you know, the server takes the trays off the robot and then serves the food or whatever. And then it goes back to the room and they put more stuff on it, like chicken nuggets or whatever the case may be. I find that hard to replicate if you have a actual walking robot with like two hands.
Yeah.
Right. Versus this cylindrical robot that's got these slots where you can put 7 pizzas in. So that was my whole kind of argument. It's like, why are we trying so hard to create robots that look like us when that seems like it's limiting? But maybe just me.
Right.
My daughter is home from A&T for spring break. And it just this story reminded me of, she tells me all the time, they have all over campus these little robots that come from the restaurants where they put pizzas in them. They actually have ovens in, or I should say warmers in the robot to keep your pizza warm until it gets to you. Mm-hmm. And these things are running all over campus all day and all night long, delivering pizzas to people's dorms. It'll take them inside of buildings. It varies inside of buildings. Various buildings actually have slots for the robots to go into their own door and all that kind of stuff. And
that's a robot doggy door.
It is a thing on A&T's campus. So I know somebody donated that technology for them to be able to do that. But yeah, that kind of seems to be the way that things are kind of going. We talked about that one grocery store. I think that's a grocery store in Atlanta that was like using robots to actually send food deliveries out to people in the surrounding neighborhood. And it was freaking people out. People were like, you know, knocking the robots. you know, they were really kind of feeling it. But I definitely think we're getting to a day to where that's what people are going to do. Or I should say, that's what companies are going to do. Why? It's cheaper than people.
That's it.
And it's so, yeah, we're going to have to figure that out. So, y'all, we're getting close to the top of the hour. And I want to again remind everybody that if you would like to support the Tech John, you can do so by becoming a patron over at patreon.com/ the Tech John. As I said, we've got multiple tiers over there. So right now we've got people who are watching us do this podcast live and you can join them. You can come and you can hang out in our Discord. There's a lot of things you can do to support the show. And we actually did get a new patron this week. So I want to give a shout out to Steve Simple. I believe that's how it's S-E-M-P-L-E. So Steve Simple became a patron of ours over the last week or so. So we wanted to give him his shout out. And once again, to do that, if you'd like to support the show as well, head over to patreon.com/ the Tech John. That's the Tech JAWN.
Shout out to Steve.
So with that being said, Tech Life Steph, tell the folks how they can get at you.
You can follow me all around the web at Tech Life Steph or check out StephanieHumphrey.com.
And you can find me all over the web at Brother Tech. That's B-R-O-T-H-A-T-E-C-H.
And I am at Rob Dunwood on all the things. And we are also at The Tech John on all the things. So come holler at us however you holler. Until we meet again in a week's time. Peace. Peace.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.